We are talking and reading here about a special people. The only people on planet Earth who today are fighting for their very survival. We all read the news. Do you understand what is happening in Lebanon? And the papers oftentimes will portray how cruel and brutal the Israelis are. To bomb Lebanon. My dear friends, please understand these things are signs of the times. For the future for Israel is not bright. In the context of present-day politics, Israel has a gloomy future. Where is the hope then? Today, Israel has forgotten her God. Even as those Israelites in 1 Samuel chapter 12 have forsaken their God and rejected the rule of God in their lives. This is the theme for today, and we see it enacted, portrayed by what is happening in Israel and Lebanon. Please understand, there is no nation like Israel, not one, that can trace its ancestry and origin to one man, Abraham. And to this one man, God says, follow me, which we are following. As children of Abraham, do you understand? We all are following. But to Abraham, God gave special promise. I will make of thee a great nation, 75 years old, no child. How to be a nation? I will bless thee and make thy name great. Today is not so great. The whole world is turned against the Jews. Nevertheless, it is a promise, and please understand, every promise of God endures and will be fulfilled in the day to come. For God's word does not go waste. And furthermore, Abraham, I make you a blessing. I will bless him who bless you and curse them who curse you. These are God's blessings on these people who today are fighting for their very survival against Hezbollah, against Hamas, Fatah. No, there is nothing wrong with those people in the sense that they themselves want survival. So here is an insoluble problem. All these have been brought about because Israel has forsaken its God. Please understand. Otherwise, all these blessings are meaningless, right? God says, I will bless you today. Where is the blessing? The blessing is not yet. No blessing today because Israel has forgotten its God, rejected its God. And I say the same lesson applies to you and me. Do you want blessing? Don't look to the world. Don't follow the world. It is so easy and persuasive. Let's do what others do. And very soon, the world overshadows and takes over from God, and very soon you forget God. Please do not. If there is any message I can tell you this morning, coming to this church, sacrificing your morning of leisure or going to the beach, what do you come for? I tell you, don't forsake the Lord. It's so easy to do. Like the Israelites, you know, they came to Samuel after having been serviced by Samuel for maybe 50, 60, 70 years. We do not know the exact year of Samuel's life, but Samuel began to serve the Lord as a child. He was faithful. But one day they said, yes, Samuel, you're okay, but not so okay. We want somebody greater than Samuel, like the other people. They all have a king. We have no king. Just an old man telling us what God wants us to do, which is oftentimes not what we like to do. Right? Isn't that something you feel also sometimes? It's so difficult to do God's will, to obey the commandments, follow the world. So the Jews came, all the elders came to see Samuel. Samuel, we want a king like all the nations, please. Samuel said to the Lord, oh Lord, what is happening? Is this the reward he gave to me at the end of all my life of service among them? And they say, Samuel, we don't want you anymore. Find us a king. What did God say to Samuel? Samuel, be comforted. They have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. The rule of God in their lives was found to be distasteful, unpopular, and they had grown tired of this kind of God says so, because Samuel transmits the message, interprets the message of God for the people and say, this is the way, thus said the Lord. They were tired of this. They wanted a king. No need to consult God anymore. If you ever have this kind of feeling, I say, please forget it. Without God, we are nothing. Put the Lord first in our life every day. Begin every day with God. Lord, what is your will in my life? Ever since I was brought to church and converted, and now I am called a Christian, what is the meaning of it? Please get down to basics. To reject God, to leave Him, is the greatest disaster that can happen to any of us here. For the world is following the God of this world. Please understand. Today, Singapore is in a very good situation materially. Every sector says growth, prosperity, boom, wonderful. Next month, no, September, something like 16,000 people are coming here. The people who control the wealth of the world. So we must present them a good welcome, that they will always remember Singapore, and we will get some more dollars from them. Friends, as far as our daily life is concerned, it will do us some good. It's not bad to have more dollars, isn't it? But I say that move has got many pitfalls. If you're carried away, now we are in the big league, IMF, World Bank, WTO, everybody is getting richer. Singapore from third world to first world to what world, I don't know. But everybody is striving for more money, more position, more power. End of it is, you know what? Destruction. Yes. If that is what you strive for. Now, this is what the Jews wanted. And what does Samuel say to them? Please now look at the Bible. Then, with that introduction, you'll understand what the problem was with Israel at that time. Chapter 12, verse 1. Samuel said to all Israel, behold, I have listened to you, your voice, in all that you said to me, and made a king over you. This is what you want, isn't it? Now you got a king. Are you happy? Verse 2. Now behold, the king walks before you. I am old and gray-headed. My sons are with you. I walk before you from my childhood until this day. True? Yes. No one can boast a record like Samuel from the time he first heard the Lord speak to him at night. From that time he was called to serve the Lord as a child given to God for his service. If there is anyone here who has been called to serve God as a child, blessed are you. There is no better calling. But don't say, well, my time is over. I'm not a child anymore. Only children get called. I said, no. God can call anyone, anytime, at any age. So be sensitive. Listen carefully when you read the Word of God. I hope you are reading, please. You cannot be a strong Christian if you do not have any appetite for God's Word. If you are not reading, ask yourself, why not? The Lord says, except you be converted to be a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. A child seeks the Father first thing in the morning. True? Yes. Do you then, as a child, seek God first thing in the morning? And ask Him, Lord, what is your plan in my life? Has God a plan in your life? Answer is, absolutely. If you're a Christian, God has a plan for you. Only the problem is many Christians do not wait on the Lord to know what God's will is for them, what is the plan for your life. And you say, well, I'll plan my own life. And you live your own style, thinking that is the best, which is not. Now, Samuel wants to have a farewell message. Truly, this is the last, possibly. There may not be another chance to speak to his people. And I say this sense of finality must capture our thinking. What do I mean? Every time you come to the Lord's house, have fellowship one with another, thank God. Treat it as possibly your last time. And therefore you will value it. Yes? Let us all truly enjoy the peace of God's house. Don't worry if you don't have a good seat, you know. Be a bit crammed. At the moment, we are a little bit short of space, but that is not a big problem. Understand that a bit of cram, lack of space, is not a problem. In the days of John Sung, we crammed in 1,000 people every time. And people tie handkerchiefs to their seat. Go and have lunch, come back quickly. Everybody was hungering for the Word of God. Do you? So we come here. Samuel was going to give his farewell message. What do you think is in his mind? Talking to his people. He has served them for many years. What are his last thoughts? Heavy on his mind, foremost, is my people are rejecting God. It's a very serious thing. I hope there is never a day that I need to say that message here, that you will never want to forsake God, as the Israelites were trying to do, were doing. So, Samuel said to them, verse 3, behold, here I am, witness against me, before the Lord, before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose ass have I taken? Whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes? And I will restore it to you. Speak now, my people. I have walked before you all these years. I have served you openly. Nothing is hidden. Tell me now. Have I done anything wrong against you? Taken your stuff, borrowing from you and not returning and saying it is mine? Or taking advantage of my position as a pastor and making you do things for me, run favors and errands, or borrowing money and never return. All these things, in those days, they didn't have dollar notes, but cows and asses and other things, properties. Have I ever stolen your cow or your ass? These are questions that they were faced with. For Samuel, being rejected, would have considered, could it be that they think I have swindled them, that they don't want me anymore? Could it be? Possible, yes. Even right now, your pastor stands before you with charges that we have been guilty of misappropriation of church funds. That I take mission trips overseas to also do my own business. All these are very serious charges. So Samuel confronted the people. Is there anything like that against me? Speak out now, and I will answer you. It is important, not that you must be a pastor to be straight and righteous. I say every Christian must be straight and righteous. In your work, in your office, be industrious, work hard, and never cheat your employer in anything. Don't steal time. Don't fabricate and defraud your company. All these things are possible. Every now and again, we read in the newspapers. Are we guilty? Examine ourselves. As Samuel that day told the people, you tell me now, have I done any of these things? Any kind of unkindness to you? Stealing from you? Bribing to do something for you out of injustice? Is there any such thing? So I say, let this prevail in our thinking. Every boy and girl, every man and woman who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, walk in His ways, righteous in all that we think, plan, say, do. Be clear and clean before God. How did the people respond? Verse 4. They said to him, you have not defrauded us, you have not oppressed us, neither hast thou taken anything of any man's hand. Is it wonderful? Nothing wrong with all that he had done. So that Samuel once and for all can clear this possible suspicion. Why did the people reject Samuel? So let there be no whisperers and rumor mongers say, hey, they don't want him because he's a crook. He's stealing money. Never, never, never. Now all the people publicly says, Samuel, we have nothing against you in that area. Nothing. Now what does Samuel say? Verse 5. He said to them, the Lord is witness against you. What you have said is not just to me or to yourselves. God is hearing in heaven. He will witness against you. If said so, let it be only the truth. Verse 5, the Lord is witness against you, and His anointed is His witness this day that ye have not found anything in my hand. And they answered, that's right, God is witness. Now, how can you prove God is witness? How do you prove it? You say you can't see God, neither does God speak to you. How can you know that God witnesses what you are saying and you're doing? For that day, there was a special sign that Samuel asked from God to manifest his power, his omniscience, his omnipotence, that on that day all men may know the Lord is mighty, present, able, and also communicates. Yes. Verse 6. Samuel said to them, here from verse 6 to 12, Samuel reminds them, you people have forgotten the past. And I say, let that not happen here in this church. What do I mean? Think of God's goodness to us through 27 years. What have you done to create this place of worship so comfortable and peaceful that you can come every Sunday and find a place where your soul can rest? What have you done? I say, we have each contributed a little to it. But the Lord has done it for us. Are you grateful? Samuel asked the people, look, you have rejected me, rejected God. Can you not remember what God has done for you? Same applies to us. History is a great teacher. And so Samuel went through the history very briefly. Where do you come from? Israelis, where do you come from? From the Israelites. Once upon a time, slaves in bondage in Egypt. And they groaned and they cried and they pleaded with God, please, we don't like this bondage. What did God do? Answer, you know, God sent Moses and Aaron and delivered them by a mighty hand. The last great miracle was Passover. In one night, Pharaoh relaxed, let go, get out of my country. When they came to the Red Sea, what to do? Pharaoh's chasing us, what to do? Did God not save you all by opening the Red Sea, creating a road in dry land and you all passed through? Did he not remember this? And how Pharaoh's armies were all destroyed in the water after you got out. The waves came back and they were destroyed, drowned. Remember or not? So Samuel wants them to wake up to the great folly of rejecting God for what God has done on, in those years. And then through 40 years, did our fathers not eat of the heavenly food, the manna, drink of the heavenly drink, water out of rock? And when we came across enemies, did not God save us by destroying those enemies? All these you know, but you have forgotten. How sad. It is the duty of God's servants. Pastors, Sunday school teachers, group leaders, ex-co members, to know the Word of God thoroughly and to understand God's purpose, that He saves. And if He has saved in the past, don't forget. So this is the purpose of verses 6 to 12. Oh, how short a memory were with the Israelites, that they chose to forget. Not that they really forgot, but they ignore those things. And I said, that is very, very sad, dear friends. Please don't. We have a wonderful God who has done so much for us. Don't forget Him. And never think of wanting to take leave and forsake God. That will be the greatest folly. Verse 13 now. Again, Samuel reminds them, now you have a king you have chosen, you have desired, and the Lord has set a king over you. But the real king is not Saul, you know. The real king is God. He is your leader. He is the commander-in-chief. The sooner we realize this, that it is not the GM who gives you promotion or the government that gives you a lot of good things, but above is God Almighty. He is the one who prospers you, who blesses you, who looks after you, cares for you, and leads you every day. Now Samuel said to them, you now have a king, right? You're looking to the king? Don't. God above is the king. And he can do great things for you. Remember him, therefore. Verse 14. Now comes the admonishment. You people have thrown away your heritage. You belong to God. Now you don't want to belong to God. I'm telling you. Verse 14. If you will fear the Lord, turn back to him, serve him, obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall both you and the king that reigns over you continue following the Lord your God. Yes, there is a king, but the king is under God, and the king must become a godly king. In all his rulings and decisions, refer to the king above. Do you? Let us learn this lesson. Relearn it if necessary today. How do you plan your life? Decide on things. How do you do it? Search the scriptures. Apply the truth from the scriptures and pray over it and wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, meaning to say, Lord, I know you can do great things for me. I know you know the way ahead of me. I know you have a plan for me. Show me that plan. Be patient. Wait on him. What should I study when I go to university? This is a big question mark to many people, young people. They don't know. And I dare say it is a difficult decision because sometimes you got a choice of so many things. You're good in everything. What shall I do? You don't know. What do you do? Ask the Lord. Be patient. Wait on him. Truly wait on him and plead with the Lord. Please show me that I will not make the wrong choice. So here is Samuel pleading with his people. Don't forsake the Lord. Fear the Lord. He is the one that matters. You have a king? Yes. King and you. King and subjects must all look to the Lord. He only is your safety and guarantee of success in the future. Verse 15, warning, not to them only, but to us. If you will not obey the voice of the Lord and rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against the fathers. How ungrateful were the Israelites, the fathers of these present Israelites. You know how ungrateful they were? They ate the manna and they murmured and rebelled against God. And very soon, they made a golden calf and said, this calf brought us out of Egypt. They had forgotten the Lord. And they constantly nagged and provoked Moses and Aaron. It's better we go back to Egypt. How awful, how wicked. So this is the kind of God's people that prevailed in that day. So Samuel, true to his office and position as the leader of the people, said what he ought to say, because God gave it to him. Now, verse 16. Now therefore stand and see the great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. If said these things and they say, God witness. How do you know God is witnessing? Now Samuel says, I will show you. God knows all that you have done and said today. Today is the harvest day. Harvest time is the dry season. Verse 17. Is it not the harvest? Today, I will call unto the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord. In asking for a king, in rejecting God, it is greatest wickedness. And in case you think I'm just talking out of my head, in case you think it is not God's word, let God himself today show it to you. I will ask God, send rain and thunder in the midst of a dry season. Did God do it? Dear friends, we have said today Israel is fighting for survival. Is the God who saved Israel from Pharaoh, who opened the Red Sea and fed them for 40 years, is the God of Moses here today? Do you know? You ask, you answer me. Is this the same God that we worship today? Is he able to help as he did before? Answer is absolutely. God does not lose any of his power. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why do you forsake him? Only thing is the people's heart were not with God. This is the problem. There will be a day coming when all Israel will have their hearts turned to God. Coming, not yet. When that happens, Jesus Christ, our Lord, will come and save the people from the great tribulation to come. So, Samuel says, here is a witness that God hears all that you say, and God will himself prove it by thunder and rain, which after prayer it came immediately in a dry season. Understand, in that kind of climate, when it's dry season, it is dry season. It doesn't rain at all. Verse 18, so Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for us unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. If God is right here present and we've been so unfaithful and ungrateful and rebellious, perchance God is going to zap us all and kill us all. Please pray that God will not take his anger on us. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, the sins of unbelief, the sins of rebellion. This great evil, the greatest evil is to ask for a king, to reject God. Verse 20, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. Nevertheless, God is merciful. Nevertheless. So he says, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. Come back to the Lord. Return and follow the Lord. Serve him, the only way of safety. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Turn ye not aside, verse 21, for then should ye go after vain things. If you turn aside from God, there is only one alternative. You go into the world and follow the world. But the Lord says, love not the world, please. The lesson this morning is learn from the mistakes of the Jews. They rejected God for the world, a king like the rest. You too, you try it. And you will come back very soon to learn a bitter lesson. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, all these are not of God, but of the world. And these things perish. These things mean nothing. Today they delight your flesh. Tomorrow you are finished. In the spirit you finished. All right? Verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people. We have a wonderful God, faithful, for when he called Abraham, he made a covenant, an agreement, an offer. Abraham, follow me. You are now in my covenant. I will never forsake you. And that covenant holds today. With us too, you and I who have come to the Lord are included in the covenant that God will do you only good and bless you and never forsake you nor reject you. Only thing is, turn to the Lord and serve him. Oh, my friends, there is this wonderful solution to our wickedness. Don't say, well, how can I be wicked? Only the Israelites are very wicked. I say, no, friends, we want to conclude with this. Examine ourselves. Have we served the Lord honestly? Are we following him faithfully? Are you? If there is any wicked way in us, return to the Lord, and God receives everyone who turns to him without exception. I was reading Daily Remembrance 3 days ago. I want to share with you that out of that book, there are many very precious lessons that you can read for yourself at your breakfast table. Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief, says Paul. And we all can share that sentiment, can we not? God came. Jesus came. Not to save the good people. They don't need to be saved. They're good already. But when you understand that you are a sinner, Jesus says, come along. He saves you. You cannot save yourself. God is full of compassion. He did receive sinners, and he received them as sinners with their sins. Amazing. A sinner is a very filthy person, like a leper. But God, the great physician, says, come to me. He receives them notwithstanding their sins, but because of them, because of your sins, you need to come to Jesus. Today we want to learn the sins of rejecting God. He receives the very worst of sinners. There is none who is so bad that God says, too bad, I don't want you in at all. No. Whatever your sin, turn to the Lord. You say, people despise me. God does not despise you. God receives you when others despise you. Every sinner that comes to him is received without exception. He receives them with all their sins upon them, however polluted, however filthy he is. Jesus says, come to me. You are laboring under your sins, he says, I will give you rest. He receives them without anything to recommend them, without any reluctance, and most graciously, he receives us to pardon all our sins. He doesn't just say, well, come and forget the past. Never mind. Have a good day and enjoy yourself. They say, go to the cinema. See a comedy. You laugh your troubles away. You come out, you'll be all right. I say, you will not be all right. You can laugh inside. You can come out, you cry again. God receives us to pardon us all our sins. And when our sins are pardoned, taken away, cleansed, you begin to see peace of God. Cleanse us from all our defilement, to justify us from all charges. No one can charge you that you are a sinner no more. Why? Jesus has taken away your sins. Come to him, like the Israelites. This is what Samuel told them. Don't you forsake the Lord, for the Lord includes you in the covenant, you too. He will heal all your wounds. He will make you new creatures. And he will use you for his glory. Say, how can it be? If any man is in Christ, He becomes a new person. All things pass away. All your past background of sinful things pass away, washed away in the blood of Jesus. And he makes you new. And he accepts you. You will become a special people to God, zealous of good works. By yourself, impossible. But when you come to Jesus and you confess your sins and he makes you a new person, you will begin to think of serving the Lord. Let everyone in this church be saved to serve. Saved to serve. Not saved to sit and do nothing. Beloved, if you feel that you cannot go to God as a saint, go to Jesus as a sinner. Yes, don't say, I'm not good enough. Jesus says, come unto me, all you sinners. I'll give you rest. Go to him. He will receive you. Go to him now. He will welcome you. From the lesson of the rebellious Israelites, whose greatest sin was to reject the Lord, learn a lesson for yourself. Have you neglected the Lord? Come back. He receives you and makes you anew. Let us pray. I invite you to ask yourself, examine yourself. Have I done my best for Jesus? If he has done so much for me, what have I done for him? Our Father in heaven, may your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. May thou witness this moment of consecration, that we may know there is a God who hears, even as we have heard the thunder this moment. Lord, speak to us to know that thou art the God of all mercy. Thou hast created and thou hast recreated. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.